At least I'm gonna say that I tried. By y'all them witches. Part 1. You came. It's not the voice she expects to hear, but Peter Pettigrew's, shuffled off in the corner of the curling front porch with a fag hanging from his lips. I was invited, wasn't I? She ignores the small smile wrapping around the filter, a twinkle in his eye that all the boys in James's little crew have adopted, like they've inherited it from each other. Don't be like that, Evans. I'm just saying it's nice to see you. Don't think I've ever seen you around here before. He's right. He hasn't. Because she hasn't. And she doesn't like the way his tone insinuates that maybe she would have a reason to give Potter house visits. Her eyes lower into speculative slits, and the hair on Peter's neck starts to bristle. He's your mate, that's all, he stammers. Well, thought so anyway. He told me he's been writing to you. Did he? Her voice sounds more lethal than she had intended. With a gulp, Peter's eyes become more watery than normal. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's what mates do, right? Write to each other? Wait, fuck. Is it queer to write to my mates? Very. She strides past, letting him parse out for himself if she was being sarcastic or not. The ornate knocker is a metal cast of a hand, which, when Lily reaches out to touch it, places a static finger upwards before ringing three solid melodic raps into the cold air. She's never seen a home like this. She knew James came from money. Before holiday, she overheard Amelia and Lilas twittering with their invitations at the lunch table about how far his family's new money had gone, but she didn't really know what to expect. The door opened on its own, leading to an entrance room that looked more cozy than the imposing exterior of the manor let on. A staircase that cut through the middle of the room is flanked with exotic plants, bar carts filled with bubbling, multicolored liquids, and books wedged in the spaces between. A large painting of a woman, practically nude besides a gossamer sheet, holds up a sizzling vial of green liquid and looks down at her with a wink, gesturing her eyes up the staircase where Lily can hear music wafting. Following the woman's gaze, she mounts the steps, stopping every so often to read out the titles of nearby books. Satanic Witchcraft, Muggle Hysteria, and Women's Liberation. The Cosmic Antidote, a Potioneer's Encyclopedia. The Final Form, a Meditation on Animagus. Well, can't say I saw this one coming. Lily tears her eyes away from the books. At the top of the staircase, Sirius leans against the banister, looking as carelessly handsome as ever, despite wearing a rather frumpy-looking Christmas jumper with a dog on it. Does an actual Potter live here, or am I still working my way through the Welcome Committee? Sirius just smiles back, swirling the tumbler in his hand so the liquid forms a vortex at the bottom of the glass. Sorry to disappoint. I'm on door duty, since they're all otherwise indisposed. Poor Prongs has been getting his cheeks pinched all evening, and I don't necessarily mean his face. It makes Lily crack a smile, the image of James trying and failing to use his lithe Quidditch reflexes to ward off the straying hands of old biddies. I gotta be honest with you, Evans. When I saw Mary show up without you, we figured you weren't coming. Thank God Mary's here. Just the thought of an ally in this otherwise alien environment makes Lily's shoulders drop. Well, sorry to disappoint, though I haven't quite made it to the party yet, so there's still time for me to leave. Sirius throws his head back in a laugh, his earring tinkling against itself.
No way, Evans. Now that you're here, the night might actually be interesting.
The sitting room, if you can call it that, is packed with people. Lily recognizes some as students from school, clumping themselves in groups around the outskirts of the space, while others, who are much older, command the room as though it is their own, floating from person to person under an enchanted ceiling that rains down fluffy tufts of snow and disappears before it can melt. It's overwhelming, and yet it doesn't take much to find him. These days her eyes are like magnets towards the unruly head of black hair and perpetually easygoing gaze. James stands at the center of the fray, looking disdainful, as an older witch with smoky eyes shoves her hands through his hair, trying to tame the tangle and laughing to another woman when her attempt only makes the dishevelment worse. When his eyes flick over to where she and Sirius stand, She watches them grow in real time. "It's all for show, you know," he had written in his last letter. "I could be the Minister of Magic, and I'd still act like a bloody child sometimes."
Cheeks turning ruddy, he raises his hand from his side and gives a small wave from the middle of his chest, mouthing a timid, "Hi." At the time, she hadn't understood what he had meant in his letter. But watching him stand there, uncharacteristically awkward, while his mother dotes on him, it all started to make sense.
It did something awful to her heart rate.
She mouths it back, mirroring his tiny wave in an attempt to seem playful, and a grin breaks out on his face as vibrant as the crackling fireplace behind him.
"So," Sirius sings beside her, and she realizes she's been holding eye contact with James and smiling for God knows how long while the world turned without them. "A drink? Or do you prefer snogging blokes in front of their parents cold turkey?"
"Fuck off, Black," she scoffs, unable to hide a blush on her cheeks from being caught. It shouldn't affect her as much as it does, really. They're friends, a fact that James has had no problem repeating to anyone who will listen. And it's been nice, really. Studying together deep in the stacks, getting distracted by the contagion of his laugh when she reaches across his space to write cheeky comments on the margins of his homework. And, as much as she would deny it, his letters over the holiday have been a saving grace. His loping, elegant script making her heart swoop the second the owl lands on her windowsill, holding pages of doodles and rambling banter to make up for the silence that comes with his absence. But those were normal feelings to have towards friends, right?
"Wait, fuck, someone's at the door," Sirius says,
expression alert, though Lily hadn't heard anything.
"Drinks are over there."
He gestures to a far corner where many people are congregating.
"Mary's over there,"
pointing to a group of girls talking near a wide Christmas tree.
"And, well, I think you already know where James is."
He flashes her a sly smile, which she ignores, and disappears back the way they came, leaving her to fend for herself. She wades through the clusters of people, finding a large, elaborate bar where the drinks make themselves as guests call out their order. She asks for a gin and tonic, then wanders towards the group of girls, happy to find some semblance of familiarity. Mary, Emmeline, Marlene, and Sophia form a semicircle, looking into the vast crowd while taking turns to lean in and giggle out observations. As Lily walks up, Mary pulls her into a one-armed hug, clinking their glasses with a wink.
"Everyone said you weren't going to show," Mary says, giving her a smug smile. "Curiosity got the best of you like the rest of us, then?"
"Yeah, something like that," Lily mutters, taking a long sip of her drink. Across the room, James continues to be heralded from stately couple to stately couple, eyes darting around for some sort of savior that never seems to come.
"Could really get used to this,"
Emmeline pipes up with a giggle.
"Fit and filthy rich. If only Potter would catch my drift once in a while, I could be the next lady of the house."
A sharp stab hits Lily right in the stomach, and she holds back the urge to spit out a less-than-savory comment about Emmeline's lack of class.
"You could always go for Black. He's available," teases Marlene. "Besides, we all know Potter's been making shag eyes at Sophia for the better half of term."
Lily can't help but rear her head back in incredulity. In all four classes she shares with James and Sophia, she has never once noticed him making anything remotely resembling shag eyes in her direction. But the way Sophia gives a cheeky shrug and purses her lips, perhaps she had missed something vital.
"We've been talking," Sophia says simply, giving a sly look.
"Talking? Talking like writing over holiday?" Lily feels heat rise to her forehead, becoming a bit woozy. It wouldn't be insane if James was writing to other girls besides her. They were friends, after all. But something inside her ached. She had wanted, had hoped, that maybe his letters to her were special. Special in what way? He probably equates your letters to the likes of Peter or Remus at this point.
"Well,"
Marlene clicks her tongue, raising her eyebrow suggestively.
"Better get in quick. Ever since Brown confirmed he has more talent with his tongue than just talking, there's been a decent queue of girls waiting to..."
"Anyone know where the loo is?"
Lily cut in. Her stomach had started to turn, the slow burn in her chest only getting worse the longer she stood there. Without guidance, she wanders away,
heading towards a lit hallway that looks promising off the side of the room. On her way, she sees no sign of Sirius or Peter, only giving one last glance to James, who's still busy entertaining his parents' guests, before slipping out of sight. She would have thought she had gone the wrong way, if not for the fact that the hall was brightly decorated with charmed icicles that glowed a soft blue and grew longer along the wall. Chandeliers like golden arms hold out candlesticks, leading her down past what felt like too many doors for a family of three to own on just a single floor. Timid, she jiggles the handles, peeking into unlocked rooms in hopes of finding a bathroom. Nearing the end of the hall, she gives an ajar door a hopeful push. Inside is a lush bedroom with a large mahogany bed adorned with red and gold quilts. Muggle rock bands with static stares are flanked by zooming Quidditch players who seem to be playing a match just amongst the collection of posters tacked together. Looking behind to see if anyone's coming, she steps in, edging towards a large postal desk that looks like it should have been in some museum rather than a teenager's bedroom. Along the surface, books are splayed open, James's unmistakably curled handwriting cramping the margins of some, while others have bits of parchment sticking out as placeholders. A quill sits on top of an open parchment at the corner of the desk. A letter, abandoned in mid-script. "Dear Lily, I know I already wrote today, but thick as I am, I forgot to ask. Please don't take the piss out of me for overworking the owls. Mum overfeeds them, so they need the exercise anyways. I know I made a laugh of it when I gave you your invitation, but I really hope you come to the party. Knowing my parents, I'll be swamped with old bats wanting to chide me on my waste of a potion's legacy," their words. "But your presence would make it all the more... I think you might be a little lost, Miss Evans." Lily spins around, hitting her hip against the desk. James leans against the doorway, looking like he's been there for a while, a smile tugging at the corner of his mouth. "Sorry, just looking for the loo." She can feel a flush crawling down her neck. "Ah." James steps in with his hands in his pockets, obviously amused. "And you found a room that looked remotely like mine, and figured it was as good a toilet as any." Lily stammers, trying to come up with a response, but James cuts her off with a laugh, walking into the room. "I'm just taking the piss, Evans. You enjoying the party? Haven't been able to pull myself away from my mom's friends the whole night. Sirius and Peter are probably furious." His eyes drop to the desk. Seeing his note left open, he quickly rips it away, balling it up with a red tinge forming under his glasses.
Just got here, actually,"
Lily murmurs, not sure if she should admit to snooping around his room.
"You have a beautiful home."
James snorts, leaning against the side of the desk.
"A bit much, I think."
He runs a hand through his hair, and Lily notices that he has a matching jumper to Sirius, though his has a reindeer on it with a pair of glasses that match his own.
"Nice jumper. You and Sirius knit them together?"
James looks down like he's just noticing it, pulling at the ends so the reindeer's face gets contorted with a stretch.
"Yeah, well, I got him a flying motorbike, and he repays me with this ugly thing, the sod."
She can't help but laugh, but not at the reason he expects. A flying motorbike. He got his mate a flying motorbike. Lily could count on her hand the things she had received in her life that were as meaningful and complicated and perfect as what James had gotten for his friend. A whoosh of air soared through her chest, unraveling any of the painful knots that had formed from her chat with the girls.
"Well, if it's any consolation, I'm afraid I didn't get you anything," Lily says, somewhat sheepish.
She had spent a good evening debating whether they were close enough to warrant gifts, but in the end was too cowardly.
"No worries, Evans," he turns to her, a slight blush forming. "Let's be honest, I wouldn't have deserved it anyway."
She can feel static in the air. Downstairs, the music changes, a slow ballad that probably has couples grabbing each other's hands and swaying close. She wonders if Sophia is looking for James, hoping to finally get her shot. He leans in and she can smell the faint scent of spice mixed with earth, a scent she has come to know too well from their time spent shoulder to shoulder in the library.
"Though," he hums, "now that we're on the subject, what did you ask for Christmas?"
It's clear he means it to be playful, to get a cheeky remark out of her, but her heart is beating so hard she worries he can feel it. Father Christmas isn't real. Did no one tell you? Come on, Evans. Play along. His eyes glint with mirth, the gold coming out in the flicker of the dim candlelight. More confidence. He laughs, a sharp, happy sound that she's begun to yearn for. The heat of his encroaching proximity emanates off him in waves, and mixed with the smell of him, it lulls her away like a trance. Meanwhile, Marlene's words from earlier seep through the walls like a gelatinous ooze. Better get in quick. Oh? He tilts his head, and a bit of hair falls into his glasses. Care to share what for? For... But she cuts herself off, hands lurching off the edge of the desk and into the cords of his sweater, slanting her mouth against his. The kiss was so fleeting, it could have been a hallucination if not for the lingering softness of his lips and the instant flesh memory of his breath against her cheek. When she pulls away, his eyes look clouded and dark, a small, oh, escaping his lips. The sound of beating footsteps echo down the hall, and the door slams wide open. A huffing Peter keels over, still holding the knob. Your parents need you. They're... Oh, fuck! He stops mid-sentence, finally clocking how close Lily and James are to one another. Fuck, mate. Your mum and dad are trying to do a speech or something, and Sirius is out smoking. Merlin, wow, this is so awkward. If it weren't for the fact that he had just stormed in on perhaps the most embarrassing moment of her life, Lily would have found Peter's floundering funny. But James hadn't even turned to his mate, eyes roaming around her face like two flying pixies. A minute, Pete, James calls, still with his back to him. Peter shifts his weight, looking more anxious by the second. Your mom said now. A minute, bloody hell. All the stabbing pain from earlier flies back into Lily's chest. Instead of grabbing hold of her, pulling her close, and maybe even, Merlin, can you imagine, kissing her again, James continues to stand stock still, his features completely unreadable beside the confused, searching look in his eye. I have to go, but don't leave before we can talk again, he says in a stern voice. For some reason it reminds her of being chastised like a child. Please, Lily. I'll be back. Just enjoy the party and I'll come find you. He turns on his heel, walking out the door without a second glance, and leaves Lily to fall back against the desk. Her lips still vibrate with the warmth of his own.